Let's see if Panger would watch movies in the splits. Darren Pang, NHL and TNT analyst, former goalie. We're talking Mika Kiprusoff, Panger, just to give you a bit of context there. Noodles sharing some stories about how, you know, Kiprusoff would do what he needed to do to make sure that he was ready for games. And I guess part of that was all he did was really stretch for hours on end and then, yeah, would just sit there in the splits.
And the odd dart.
Wow.
Then I was going to say, then he had a smoke and a pancake. I love it. Great to be on the show. How's everybody doing tonight?
We are great. We're looking forward to the game tonight because I don't know. Are we going to get an answer of who's going to face the Edmonton Oilers, or are we going to have to wait another game? And just so you know, we've been grieving the fact that Colorado lost because of the performance that Nathan MacKinnon gave. And with just, you know, from a purely hockey perspective, neutral fan, when you see a player put up a performance like that, you're like, man, and you don't even walk away with the win. What do you make of what MacKinnon has been doing?
Well, it's funny you say that. I brought my 2-year-old granddaughter. I needed to help out my daughter and her husband today, so I brought her to practice. And I was watching her draw on all my notes because I gave her a pen, and I'm thinking to myself, what I saw the other night was a Picasso, a brilliant performance, perfect from start to finish. And then once the Picasso was finished, it was like my granddaughter taking her crayon and scribbling all over it. That's what that felt like. I mean, it was a game for the ages. It was the electricity in the building, being between the benches was a spectacular experience for me, and I've seen a lot, but this was incredible. And then you know, the time that they spent to clean up the hats, I think enabled the Blues to at least reset, get out a game plan, tell Billy Husso when he's going to come out. I think they used that brilliantly as a timeout and didn't waste that valuable time. So didn't mean they were automatically going to score, but for them to suck the life back out of that building after it was so energetic was something that you don't see very often.
Panger, you know both teams very well. Obviously, you cover St. Louis, so you know them inside and out. I was saying earlier in the show, this is so pivotal for Colorado tonight's game, because I just think that the longer this series goes, the Blues know how to win. They're a battle-tested team. And as you see, I mean, you just laid out, they were able to be calm and regroup and find that goal at the end of the game and then take it in overtime. Do you see a confident St. Louis group that will use and draw on that experience as this series goes on?
I would agree with that. I mean, you know, we had two mantras going in the last game. St. Louis is saying, Noodles, hey, we're heading back to St. Louis. We might as well drag them with us. And right. Then You probably heard that little clip of MacKinnon after he scored that goal saying, we're not getting on a plane and going back there. So, you know, I think the pressure's not on St. Louis. We all know that. The best team in the league, or the second best team in the league, and I would argue that they were the best team in the league, was Colorado. And the pressure's on them because they haven't advanced to the conference final since 2002. It's a core group of players that haven't been able to get over the hump. So that's tough. That's mentally maybe draining. That's where you might give the Blues the edge to climb back to a game 7, is that they've got a little extra layer of skin around them because they have done well in elimination games. They have bounced back. They have been resilient. They proved that in 2019. They haven't done it in the playoffs since, but they are obviously doing it now because they do feel good about themselves. But listen, all that being said, Two Noodles, you can't have any passengers. I mean, the reason right. why... I mean, Colorado was dominating the series, and the Blues didn't have enough guys on board. And now, all of a sudden, Robert Thomas has got some confidence, and Tarasenko, and Buchnevich, and, you know, so that makes a world of difference, because you can't play against Colorado with, what, 6 guys, 7 guys? It's impossible to play against that team with a limited amount of players.
Panger, you know, I'm always watching the game as a defenseman from a defenseman's point of view, and I love when I see a guy who's a little, not necessarily unheralded, but does a lot of subtle things really well throughout the course of the game. And for the St. Louis Blues, that's Colton Parayko. And, mm-hmm. you know, every time I watch him, it's like there's little moments where he could make a certain decision that could either turn the tide their way, but if it doesn't go their way, it could kind of not go south, but, you know, it could go one way or the other. But he always makes the right decision, and he's very poised with the puck. Like, how important has he been for them, you know, as underdogs against Minnesota, underdogs against Colorado, and now you're seeing that they're giving Colorado a pretty good run for their money?
Yeah, he's a special human being, to be honest with you. He's the kind of guy you'd want to date your daughter, or for me, your granddaughter. You know what I mean? Like, he's a special guy. He's a very nice guy. He's even keeled. He doesn't get too high or too low. He doesn't get too intense, but maybe sometimes you'd like him a little bit more intense. But that's why he plays the game so well, is because he doesn't get wrapped up in the emotions of it. And you're right about his skating stride, the way that he pushed some pucks ahead to the right areas of the ice. And if he makes a mistake, he's such a good skater that he gets back there faster than anybody anyway. So a very unique and gifted player. In fact, I just ran into his dad, actually, here. They're from St. Albert, Alberta. We were talking about Troy Murray and Mark Messier and, you know, that. And they're probably thinking to themselves, boy, if the Blues can win this one and play Edmonton, that would be unbelievable for Colton and the family. So I think a lot of people out there have already got Nate McKinnon, and Colorado facing up against Connor McDavid and Edmonton Oilers. But I think the Blues have something else in mind, to be honest with you. I think they want to ruin this party, and they want to make sure they get back on a plane and go to Colorado.
I agree. The pride of St. Albert, Jerome Iginla as well, and I'm way down on that list. They haven't even named an outdoor rink after me there. But
are you St. Albert as well?
I'm a St. Albert boy. I love Colton. But Nick Holden as well in Ottawa, a fantastic human. Like, there's some good NHLers there. Jeff Sanderson and his son Jake, now high draft pick to Ottawa. Yeah. They're, you know, but I wanted to talk about Panger Billy Husso. Because when you look at the crop of unrestricted free agent goaltenders, obviously Darcy Kemper's in there, Jack Campbell, but, you know, what do you think Billy Husso's ceiling is? And is he a guy that, obviously with Jordan Binnington's contract status, that St. Louis might just have to walk away from based on, you know, them being into Binnington and how well he did play in the playoffs?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting situation. I mean, if you're Billy Husso, he's waited his time. He's a UFA. Why wouldn't he wait? You know, why wouldn't he see what's out there? And if he doesn't like what's out there, then you know, I'm sure that, I mean, Doug Armstrong, I'm sure, has tried, you know, several different times to see what kind of deal he can get him under. You need two goaltenders in the NHL. We all know that. Binnington's a terrific goaltender, right? And, you know, he can find his game in a hurry like he did in the playoffs here. And then you watch him and you go, okay, that's the guy. We might have forgotten how good he was, you know, because he's been a little bit more up and down. But, you know, how good is Husso? I think technically he's incredibly sound. Doesn't beat himself too often, you know, if that makes any sense. Doesn't overcommit and overslide. Really good on wraparounds and jam plays. And what I find in the playoffs is those are important plays. I mean, players barreling down and going to the driving hard to the net. Now, in saying all that, I will say that there's some areas that need improvement on, and tonight's game would be a good one. Facing the rush, Noodles, you know how hard that is. You know, you've got high-octane team going through the neutral zone, and all of a sudden they get some speed. He's got beat by, I think Kadri's beat him twice on the rush. We've seen, I mean, that brilliant move by Nathan McKinnon, but it's still a rush play. You know, so those are plays where he starts out on top of his crease, and then as the play comes forward to him, generally when it's got speed, he backs in. So he thinks he's at the top of the crease, but by the time the shot's being taken, and you know exactly what I'm talking about here, he ends up backing in and he's on the goal line. So those are just learning curves for me, for Billy Husso, but everything else is in real good order. He's a good person. He works hard. He's got a great attitude. He's a typical Finn, and I really like the guy. So I think he's got some great upside. I think he could be, he proved this year that he's a number one goaltender. He could prove to any team that knocked on the door that he would be a solid number one goaltender.
Darren Pang joining us here on Overdrive. You know, David Perron, when he scored, you know, a couple goals, and he's scoring in bunches, right? It's like he's not scoring one goal a game. It's like a couple goals this game, three, you know, a hat trick another game. But I have to be honest with you, Panger, when I just saw that he would shine in certain games, I'm like, he's still playing? I mean, I know we typically talk about guys who are, you know, 35 and over, mostly because of the contracts, but I mean, at 33 years of age, he also seems to have gotten better in the last few years, kind of like a fine wine with the St. Louis Blues. What have you just seen from him, and what is he providing in these playoffs?
Yeah, he's a Chateau Lafite Rothschild, 1981, I think. Beautiful bottle of wine that's just going to get more expensive in time, and better. with age. You are correct. It's the best hockey that I've seen him play in the last 3 years. He and Ryan O'Reilly, for the 9,000th time this morning on a, you know, getting ready for game six, they trot out there. They're the first two on the ice. They're rimming pucks around the boards. They're making small, short little passes to one another. They're heel-to-toe saucer passes in different areas of the ice. I mean, they're great together. And I think if you're Doug Armstrong, you're looking at these two and saying, I'm not sure what kind of term you want to give them, but you want to keep them both together. He changed his stick a couple of years ago, and I always tell him that Jonathan Marchessault deserves a lot of credit for your kind of your comeback play, because you lengthened the stick, you made it more whippier, you changed the curve, and I think that has changed his game entirely from where it was going before with a shorter stick that was way too stiff and the curve wasn't right for this game nowadays. And so that change to me was a big part of David Perron, you know, getting to this spot again. And I think he's got four really, really good years ahead of him, if I want to put a number on it.
I remember one time I was doing some stick samples with the CCM rep here in Toronto, and he brought a whole bunch of different ones, right? He brought Burns, and Perron was one of the ones, and I looked down at the thing. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, I turned to the rep. I said, he actually uses this thing in a real NHL game? He goes, oh, yeah. Like, it's a weird-looking thing. And another guy is Ryan O'Reilly. I don't know if you've ever seen his stick. It's almost like a straight blade with, like, this little toe hook at the end. But he makes it work. Like, anytime O'Reilly's in and around the net, it's on his stick, it's off his stick, and he's very dangerous in those areas. And he's shown that throughout the playoffs as well.
How long ago was it that you saw that stick from Perron? It had to be 3 or 4 years
ago.
That would have been
like, honestly, 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah, he changed. That's the one that he changed from. He does not use that one anymore because it was just too firm, and he tried to pull the puck back and change the angle, and it got blocked and deflected, and he was getting frustrated. He had no clean looks, and so that was a short one that was 110 flex with that long blade because he loved Kovalev, and this one's just a classic. You know, it's a classic curve right in the middle of the belly of the stick, and it's about a 71 flex. So he gets that off quickly. And Ryan O'Reilly, yeah, you're right about that. How many times you see Ryan O'Reilly with one hand on his stick? It's a very upright stick, but one hand on his stick, and he's able to turn the stick over of the opposition. He's able to pull it off the boards with just one hand. He's able to defend the player and have one hand on his stick. And he and David Perron do that better than anybody in the league to protect the puck.
Banger, I know we're talking about Colorado and St. Louis, but did you lay eyes on the Edmonton and Calgary game last night and the goal or non-goal by Blake Coleman?
Yeah, I did, and I had a long conversation with all our guys today. We all hot-stoved it up, and I think all of us looked at it like the first 3 or 4 replays. It was like, oh, that's a goal. I mean, and then they show one replay, and you're like, put a little doubt in your mind, you know?
Yeah.
But I think at the end, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I think that puck was going in. I think I looked at it again after that, after I'd changed my mind for the sixth time and came back to it and said, I think that's a goal.
Yeah. I think that's the consensus. I really do. And I get it. I understand what where the league was coming from. And I think you're right. There's one angle where it's like, wow, that looks kind of like a, you know, a kicking motion. But all the other, like, even watching it live, Panger, my instinct, and I know the former goaltender in you, is always that no goal, you know, you want to protect the goaltenders, but I was like, I think that's a goal. Like, for me, it was going in already. He was battling for position with CC. His right leg catches Mike Smith's pad. Like, yeah, did he intend to guide it over the line? I think he wanted to help it, absolutely, but I think the league is, There's so many goals you see where a player can redirect the puck into the net. And it just didn't, for me, it wasn't a distinct kicking motion. I just think there was a one where there was maybe an extension that may have gotten everybody thinking.
Yes, I agree with you. And that's, there's too many angles.
Yeah.
By the time you're back to the last one, it puts doubt in your mind. And I know they've all got a hard job and they're trying to do the best they can, and it gets frustrating. But, I think there may be a better way. I'm glad we haven't had that much controversy. I remember sitting at that TSN panel during the course of playoffs, and me and Bob McKenzie and James Duthie, we'd have the 1, 2, 3 going on there. Okay, how many is that now? Puck over the glass and a kicked in puck into the net or goalie interference. But but that was a significant one because it's a huge moment in the hockey game.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
All right, Panger. Well, we appreciate you taking the time. We look forward to the game tonight, and maybe we'll find out who's facing Edmonton tonight. Maybe we won't. We just hope it's a good one.
Always a pleasure. And who really did knock O-Dog's teeth out? Which one of you?
I don't know. We need the real story.
Yeah.
Apparently he bit into a sub sandwich and his teeth had just had enough. So
it's like Little Shop of Horrors where the plant attacks you. Apparently the sandwich attacked him.
Wow. He should maybe go to a place that's got softer bread.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know what 5-day-old bread he was chomping down on, but it took his teeth. It took his teeth, Pager.
That's wicked.
Yeah.
He should have told you it was a chicken wing. Would have sounded better.
Exactly. Tell a good story, anyway. But... Yeah, he tells the truth.
Night. You got it.
All
have
right,
a great
Darren.
Night, everybody.
Thank
you. See you guys.
Darren Pang, former NHL goalie, NHL and TNT analyst.